Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Gigi Sohn, who's the co-founder and president of Public Knowledge, a Washington, D.C.-based public interest group working to defend citizens' rights in the emerging digital culture. She has served as a project specialist in the Ford Foundation's Media, Arts, and Culture Unit and as executive director of the Media Access Project, a public interest law firm that represents citizens' rights before the FCC and the courts. In 2006, the Electronic Frontier Foundation gave Gigi Sohn its Internet Pioneer Award. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gigi Sohn.
It's great to be here, Ian.
And Dilma Rousseff, the president of Brazil, has just postponed a state visit to Washington because of allegations that the U.S. National Security Agency, the NSA, has targeted her emails and her phone calls, along with NSA hacking into the state-run oil company Petrobras and intercepting billions of emails from calls made by Brazilians. So it seems like there is an international backlash either underway or developing in terms of the NSA surveillance that Edward Snowden largely revealed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's not just Brazil, and you know, Brazil is not to be trifled with. It really is the most powerful economy in the global south. But obviously, there are a number of European countries, France and Germany. Mexico was also concerned because it was found out that the U.S. was spying on their president as well. So, yeah, there are a number of international implications for what's going on, and a number of major trading partners and major allies of the United States who are very, very concerned.
So far we've focused on the abuse of or the invasion of civil liberties here in the United States. And curiously, when the president first addressed these revelations when they broke with Edward Snowden's television comments from Hong Kong, the defensive mode of the government was to reassure American people and citizens that we're not spying on you, we're spying on foreigners, which seems like the foreigners heard that, right?
Yeah, I think that's really backfired a lot, because now what you've got is countries like Brazil are saying to United States companies, internet companies like Google and Facebook, is, you know, if you want to have any data on our citizens, you have to keep servers in our country. You know, we're not sure that we want to have a trade agreement with you. You know, the United States and the European Union, we're going to enter into a trade agreement, and now that's really up in the air. Another thing that's up in the air, and this is really critically important, you know, some people, you know, some of your listeners might say, I don't really care, you know, how costly this is to Google or Facebook. Well, that's fine, but to the extent that the United States was rightly fighting an effort by Russia and China and repressive Arab countries to have one centralized body controlling the Internet, this can have a huge impact on the United States' effort to make sure that the Internet is controlled in a decentralized manner with multi-stakeholder groups, rather than have this International Telecommunications Union, which, again, companies like, you know, China and Russia and others will have, you know, a great deal to say about how the Internet is run. We're starting to lose those allies because of what's been going on with the NSA and the spying. And in the final decision on who gets to control the Internet is going to be made next year. And unless the president does something to mollify our international allies and partners, I'm afraid that control of the Internet is going to land up in this centralized body, and that will not be good for anybody.
And Gigi Sohn, you're referring to the International Telecommunications Union meeting last December in Dubai, where an emerging cyber sovereignty movement raised its head, where Russia, China, the United Arab Emirates, Sudan, and Saudi Arabia unsuccessfully pushed for changes in the Internet infrastructure.
That's correct. Well, they were somewhat successful, but not as successful as they wanted to be. And, you know, unfortunately, and, you know, again, the United States is to blame in part for this, you know, there is a thought, even among many of our allies, that the U.S. controls the Internet too much. It controls ICANN, which is the body that gives out, you know, domain names. And this NSA spying kind of feeds the fire. It fuels the fire that, oh, my gosh, the United States has too much control over the Internet. So in Dubai, the United States was largely successful in keeping out regulations that would have vested too much power into the International Telecommunications Union. But the issue is not dead yet. The countries meet again next year in Seoul, South Korea, to finalize these regulations, and things could turn in the wrong direction, again, in the direction of these repressive regimes, unless the president and the administration do something to make our international allies, the folks that were on our side in Dubai, feel better about not having centralized control over the internet.
Again, I'm speaking with Gigi Sohn, who's the co-founder and president of Public Knowledge, a Washington, D.C.-based public interest group working to defend citizens' rights in the emerging digital culture. Now, so I guess it's pretty clear then that violating foreigners' privacy is both bad for our national security and for our prosperity, because if companies, big multinational companies not based here in the United States, they don't want their communications intercepted. It's been clear that with the Brazilian case with Petrobras, that this goes on. Aren't we in this world today, Gigi Sohn, in many ways, economic espionage is far more important, in a sense, than the traditional military and intelligence espionage?
Well, I'm not sure you can separate one from the other, right? I mean, the government pressures, you know, companies to keep, you know, to keep a lot of data and keep it forever. The companies want to keep a lot of data. I'm not sure they want to keep it forever, but, you know, they want to keep it for long periods of time. It's very, very hard to kind of separate out the two. I mean, I do think we have like a surveillance industrial complex is what I call it. If you remember, President Eisenhower talked about the military industrial complex, where we have so many, you know, companies, so nearly 500 companies are contracting with the U.S. government to do some sort of surveillance work. And the more companies you have invested in doing surveillance, the more they will surveil. Okay, they're not going to say to the government, no, we should do less surveillance, pay us less money. And I think that's a real danger. You sort of, you have this mission creep, and not only more surveillance, but surveillance for reasons that have nothing to do with security. For example, maybe, you know, I understand that the Department of Justice was inquiring with the NSA about whether they could do surveillance for copyright infringement. And there was, you know, discussions about using surveillance for, you know, pornography or other sort of, you know, dirty activities. So we really, really have to watch out that we are building this surveillance industrial complex and what the implications are for even having more surveillance than what we're hearing about every day. But there's one other point, Ian, that I'd like to make that I think is really, really important, and that is, you know, Brazil has been talking about setting up its own internet, okay? And we already know Russia kind of has its own internet, China has its own internet, and I very much worry about this balkanization of the internet, because I think what makes the internet great is that it's a global network of networks, and, you know, I can talk to people in Africa, in Australia, and, you know, hopefully not having to worry about, you know, who's watching what I'm doing and who's watching what I'm saying. And if everybody is now going to create their own internet, there's not going to be a global network anymore. I think so much good has come of the internet's global nature. You know, democracies have flourished where there weren't any before. Economies have flourished where economies were weak before. You know, free speech has flourished where, you know, speech was tamped down before. If we're going to get away from that and go more to, you know, Brazil's internet and Australia's internet and France's internet, it's going to be like before pre-internet times, where we're just sort of in our own little sovereign communities and not learning from each other and not growing from each other. And I think that's the advantage of repressive regimes. And I think that's, you know, a really important message to take back to the administration, is that the more we do this kind of surveillance and are not transparent about what we're doing and why we're doing it, the more we play into the hands of the China and Russias of the world who want to control the internet.
Well, surely there's been some real evidence of how the internet has empowered democratic activists around the world. And look what happened in Egypt with the use of social media in their initial revolution, which, of course, sadly has been reversed recently by the military. But I remember the euphoria at the time, and everybody, you know, I even talked to Egyptian activists who were kind of peeved that we were attributing everything to Twitter and Google and Facebook and not to the fact that they were bleeding in the streets of Cairo.
Well, look, it's both, right? I mean, you know, the revolution there and the revolution in Tunisia were certainly helped by quick and easy communications and, frankly, tools, some of which were built here in the United States, that allowed activists to get around the censorship of their governments. And I will say, you know, that that's one place where the United States government ought to be praised and ought to be praised greatly, is it is funding NGOs that are building the tools for activists to get around the filters, to get around the censorship of their governments. So, I mean, absolutely, I don't think anybody can doubt, you know, that the Internet and its applications and its openness have really have helped to fuel these revolutions, have helped to bring information and money from outside that promote these revolutions. So I think you can't diminish the impact. But again, if all of a sudden everybody's got a separate Internet, and I can't speak to the Brazilian Internet or the Egyptian Internet or the Tunisian Internet, and a lot of that goes away, and I don't think we want to go there. So I think the president at some level understands this. I'm not sure he knows what to do about it, but it is not just about Americans, and I think Americans at their peril, when their advocacy just talks about spying on Americans and not on the international community, I think we are leaving out a lot of allies and a lot of people we want to have as allies, and we need to understand the impact on the international community. And again, when it impacts the international community, it also impacts our businesses, both big and small, and it also in turn impacts us.
But it does seem that one part of the government is pushing in one direction and another part of the government in another. When you mentioned these NGOs, the State Department is putting a lot of support behind an open and uncensored Internet and considers it one of its most important missions. And then you've got the NSA on the other side looking into what almost everybody around the world is doing, saying, and thinking. So obviously, this unfettered U.S. spying on foreigners is causing some serious collateral damage, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is causing collateral damage. Look, I talked to the Internet companies. They're absolutely freaking out, and they should. They're freaking out, again, because of the way that some of the countries are treating them and their officials there. I believe that Brazil had a number of Google, Apple, and Facebook executives appear in court to talk about PRISM, you know, the PRISM program where the NSA was able to, you know, spy on the emails of these companies. So they're being hauled into court. You know, the business prerogatives are being limited. So, you know, they're really freaking out. So and that does have an impact on us. I mean, you know, these companies are huge employers in the United States. So, you know, it's not enough to say, well, their companies will take care of themselves. It has a larger impact. It also impacts any good trade initiatives we might have with some of these countries. And as I said before, it impacts the ultimate question of who will govern the Internet. And, you know, when we were talking about what the U.S. would do in Dubai around the International Telecommunications Union last year, left and right were absolutely united that it would not be good for the Internet to have centralized control. That the ITU should have centralized control over the Internet, that it would be better to make it, you know, more diffuse and more, you know, subject to multi-stakeholder governance. There was no daylight between the left and the right there. But I fear that, you know, the administration's unwillingness to address this international problem is going to cost us dearly in Seoul next year, and could have really dramatic negative consequences for the global Internet.
So is this a case, Gigi Sohn, of some of these big companies being kind of co-opted by the government and suddenly realizing it's costing them? I mean, Verizon and all these phone companies get paid to help the NSA trolled through the phone records, and I believe the big Googles and Facebooks also get paid for the access that the NSA has, although it supposedly taps into these fiber optic cables. I'm not sure what the arrangements are, but it looks like they're backfiring.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we kind of, look, obviously the companies are going to try to cover their behinds, and nobody has clean hands here. I think the telecommunications providers are more into it than the internet providers to the extent that, for example, AT&T is a perfect example of a company that's getting a lot of government money. They are a government contractor of the NSA. So a lot of it is, you know, the telecoms are much deeper into it than the internet companies, but nobody really has clean hands. And some of what's going on, to the extent that the internet companies are asking to be able to tell the public how many data requests they get. I mean, I think that's a good thing. We actually signed a letter with those companies asking the government to allow them to do that, but still sort of a covering, you know, they're behind, you know, trying to make themselves look good when they are sort of, you know, part of the sort of larger surveillance industrial complex. But again, that is sort of a separate question about what's going on overseas to these companies and, you know, what it means for the United States standing as a leader internationally. I think it's, we're really taking our shots. And, you know, one thing about this whole issue, it's not going away. This is not something, I do think that at one point, I think the administration just thought, well, Americans care more about their security than their privacy, and this will just sort of dry up and people will forget about it. But it's not going away. It's not going away in part because, you know, Edward Snowden is allowing this information to kind of, you know, come out in little dribs and drabs. So, you know, you have every day there's a new outrage. I actually find the most outrageous thing I've heard so far is that the NSA was working with standards bodies to try to make our internet insecure. So instead of, you know, trying to invent a better lock pick, they're actually making the locks insecure, which is amazing to me given all the focus on cybersecurity and everything. But you're getting this drip, drip, drip of information, and people are getting more and more outraged. So this thing is not going away. And while a couple weeks ago the president proposed some reforms, they fall far short of what needs to be done in order to make people feel better about their government and better about their intelligence apparatus. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't think the NSA should be spying. But I think most people think that they ought to be spying on criminals and terrorists and not ordinary Americans and not ordinary foreigners. So, and that's where this whole thing has gotten completely out of control. The FISA court's out of control, and the NSA is out of control, and it needs to be brought in control. The administration can do some things of its own, but Congress also has to act. And I think, you know, I've been beating up a lot on the administration, but, you know, the Patriot Act was passed by Congress. The FISA Amendments Act was passed by Congress. Only Congress can fix those things. So it needs to get its act together and do the right thing and cabin the scope of this surveillance, because that's the heart of what's wrong here.
Well, just in closing, Gigi Sohn, what do you think the chances are of this new proposed BRICS cable that the Brazilians are proposing, which is a fiber optic link from Brazil to Vladivostok, Russia, and then down through Asia across to Africa and the Middle East, of course, and on to Europe?
I mean, again, it gets back to the point I made before is, you know, having separate internets doesn't help anybody. And again, if Russia's going to be a main, you know, main part of this new internet, I mean, they have other values that we don't share. You know, the internet should be, you know, a free and unfettered place for people to be able to speak their mind, for people to be able to associate with whom they want to associate with, obviously, you know, within limits when it comes to terrorism. You know, but it needs to be a global network. Otherwise, you know, the idea of the internet was for the whole world to benefit, not for one country to benefit. So I understand the reaction. I understand why they want to do it. I think ultimately it's self-defeating, and could really play into the hands of repressive regimes and not freedom.
Well, Gigi Sohn, thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Gigi Sohn, who's the co-founder and president of Public Knowledge, a Washington, D.C.-based public interest group working to defend citizens' rights in the emerging digital culture. She has served as a project specialist in the Ford Foundation's Media, Arts, and Culture Unit and as executive director of the Media Access Project, a public interest law firm that represents citizens' rights before the FCC and the courts. In 2006, the Electronic Frontier Foundation gave Gigi Sohn its Internet Pioneer Award. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with the Quaker lobbyist on Capitol Hill for peace in the Middle East.